So I want to introduce you our next presenter, Teresa Stewart, who is a Communication for Development Specialist in UNICEF New York. Prior to this, she was Regional C4D Advisor at the UNICEF Regional Office for South Asia, where she was also Regional Coordinator for Adolescent Development and Participation. From 2006, June 2008, she provided technical assistance and quality assurance on avian and pandemic influenza communication preparedness to 8 UNICEF country offices in South Asia, helping them develop formative research protocols to establish baseline for national avian influenza communication strategies. During the post-tsunami crisis in 2005-2006, TESS coordinated the development and publication of the Behavior Change Communication in Emergency Toolkit. Among other initiatives, TESS produced a set of EDVD, courseware on communication for development for trainers and participants, strategic communication for behavioral social change in South Asia, and other tools. Prior to ROSA, she was Chief of Communication in UNICEF country offices in Thailand and the Philippines, where she managed external relations and communication for behavioral and social change. In both countries, she worked with government, media, disadvantaged community, and in among other interventions, setting up community radio in hard-to-reach area. Tess was Director of Extension and Associate Professor of Developer Communication at University of the Philippines and Director of the Applied Communication Divisions of the Philippine Council for Agricultural Resources Research and Development. She has been a Communication for Development Consultant to UNDP, FAO, and UNFPA, and many governmental and non-governmental organizations. Tess has a doctoral degree in Development and Communication from the University of the Philippines, Los Banos, and Florida State University, and a master's degree in Applied Nutrition and Family Resource Management. Tess.
Thank you, Dr. Chavel, and good morning to everyone. My presentation will actually be reflective and will build upon Dr. Bertrand's presentation, and it's entitled Essentials for Excellence. It's a strategic model for communication to reach the right people at the right time in the right way. What are these? Okay. So what we would like to do in this session is to provide the context and rationale for the development of a simple research monitoring and evaluation tool for communication in response to a major public emergency, and that was avian influenza beginning in 2005. And we would like to highlight the key features that make what we call the E4E a special tool for research, monitoring, and evaluation, which is basically principle 5 of Dr. Bertrand's 12 principles. So we will be focusing on RM&E throughout the communication planning and implementation cycle. And also we would like to discuss some experiences and lessons learned from the application of E4E. And we have also seen that in applying it to avian flu, it could very well apply to any other subject matter area where you are planning communication strategies, implementing them, and looking at the impact in a scientific way, looking at it in a social science, evidence-based approach. So first, a little bit of the context. In 2005 to 2006, the H5N1 virus, as you're all aware, which causes avian flu or bird flu, re-emerged. And it spread among the wild and domestic bird populations throughout the world. And then the rapid spread of avian flu in poultry populations and the rare but increasing cases of bird flu among people have been the cause of alarm for all of us, I'm sure. And if H5N1, the virus, changes into a human strain, we all know that it would make it possible for person-to-person transmission and may trigger a human flu pandemic. And so far, we know also that there is no vaccine and treatment is available, treatment is not available, But as we have been talking in the different sessions since day one of this meeting, this annual meeting, prevention is the key. So we all also agree that communication is a critical component, a critical program strategy for preventing and controlling avian flu. So in 2006, UNICEF was tasked by the UN System Influenza Coordinator as the lead agency in the United Nations to coordinate communication for behavior and social change around avian flu and pandemic influenza. And UNICEF works closely with FAO, WHO, and other UN agency partners, as well as governments and international NGOs and national NGOs in avian influenza control and prevention. And now we are also preparing for pandemic preparedness communication and including response. So in early 2006, funds were allocated for avian flu communication, which had a quick imposition of deadlines from the donor. So we had to utilize funds within 6 months, within 1 year, and it required us to prepare communication strategies to demonstrate impact in short time frames. And because of this, many communication interventions were rapidly implemented in 2006 without the benefit of baselines. It quickly became apparent, of course, that from the country office perspectives, our people in the country offices working with national governments through national task forces on avian influenza communication preparedness, prevention, and control, that working with national partners and all that, communication strategies needed considerable social, cultural, and economic aspects. You know, we needed to consider the all of these aspects of the disease for effective planning, implementation, and evaluation so that we could properly also report the gains that have been achieved over the short term, because we had to report on 6 month periods. Then there emerged an urgent need among our people, our country office staff, and our partners in communication among governments and NGOs for quick and easy guidance and tools to equip field staff for RM&E work for avian influenza communication. So this was the challenge, because there was, people were clamoring, where are the tools, where are the guidelines? So what we did was, in response, headquarters, UNICEF headquarters, was had to rapidly develop an orientation package and a reference guide and tools for RM&E for avian flu communication, which now we call Essentials for Excellence. This is one example where we tried to roll out the tool in Bhutan among backyard poultry farmers, and you will see there that this is a focus group discussions led by the district agricultural officer trying to draw out the backyard farmers' perception of avian flu. Now, this particular instance or event was the second day of a workshop on formative research for avian influenza. And the result of that five-day workshop was actually to come up with a national communication strategy for Bhutan. Actually, there was already a draft plan, a communication plan. But in order for the donor to release funding to the government, they needed an evidence-based national communication plan. And this was the World Bank providing grants to different endemic countries or potentially threatened countries because of Bhutan's nearness to India and Bangladesh. So the Bhutan government tried to really step up its planning. They called UNICEF to do a quick research, workshop, and right there and then we were able to use and further hone the Essentials for Excellence tool. So I think I need to go back to this, okay. So E4E was drawn from existing guidance. We used Dr. Bertrand's tools, we used Dr. Hossein's tools, and so many other tools that we could, you know, quickly put together. And so we were able to distill and simplify these to allow immediate use at country level. It converted basic theory, that's important, because we converted basic theory into simple practical tools that our staff and partners could easily understand, and more importantly, to apply to provide countries with sound technical grounding in our M&E. So since field staff did not have the time to conduct the research, they also needed simple management tools that would allow them to outsource and manage our M&E. And for example, they needed to develop terms of reference. They needed to develop RFPs, and many of them have not done that before. So this tool, E4E, also provided that guidance. Okay. So what makes Essentials for Excellence a special tool for our M&E? First, E4E, as we call it again, provides a basic orientation on our M&E for avian flu. And that's for avian flu communication, including estimated time taken at different stages of the research according to the program cycle. So this allows field staff to plan and allocate time and resources accordingly. So here's another example. We went to Afghanistan. The Ministry of Agriculture and the Ministry of Health invited UNICEF to conduct a training on the development of a national communication strategy for avian flu. So it was not only the research tool, but also the tool to develop the strategy on the basis of formative research, and how will the plan and how will the objectives based on the results of formative research on baselines on KAP input into monitoring indicators that we could measure and later on report in terms of behavior outcomes and behavior impact. So this was also a part of a workshop that we did for 1 week with UNICEF and other UN counterparts in Afghanistan, and very important, with the Ministry of Agriculture and Health and Ministry of Health. So on the second week of the workshop, we went out to a province where we met with the village elders, and they apply these tools. And, you know, it's really amazing how the participants realized that all their assumptions had to be debunked once they had drawn out all the wisdom from the field, the participatory, the real nature of participatory research. So, number two, what makes E4E a special tool for research monitoring and evaluation? E4E provides a minimum set of research methods to use for each task, and includes the strengths and weaknesses of each method, ideas on sampling techniques, and minimum sample sizes. For field staff, this demystifies research monitoring and evaluation and allows them to undertake formative and summative research with limited time and resources. So here's another example from Bhutan, community mapping with village health workers. Third, E4E provides simple definitions and key questions to ask at each stage of the research. Okay, another example, village mapping with agricultural extension workers in Vietnam. Okay. And then fourth, E4E provides concrete examples of what can be achieved even if time frames and resources are limited. It allows field staff to establish realistic objectives based on their specific country context. Here, a mother's group is doing a social network analysis. This is in China. Fifth, E4E provides tips to help field staff to analyze the contribution of communication in the achievement of program results. And E4E provides sample formats that help standardize reporting among different country offices. Here's a key informant interview in China. Okay. And seventh, E4E provides a menu of communication or behavior indicators and recommends data collection methods using both qualitative and quantitative approaches. Now we have body mapping by children in Thailand. Okay. So finally, number eight, it provides tools and samples for managing the outsourcing of RM&E, writing TOR, as I mentioned, RFPs, assessing proposals, and judging reports. Here's another example of adolescents mapping their community in Thailand. The pictures speak thousands of words, so I don't need to explain. And finally, the lessons learned. What insights have we gathered from applying E4E for avian flu communication, preparedness, and response in different countries? First, despite time and resource constraints, most countries have been able to use E4E guidance to get research done with community members also engaged in the research. The results then feed into the ongoing communication strategy that the community also helps shape. E4E has been used for ongoing research and continuous monitoring and evaluation to document lessons on what makes AI communication effective or ineffective, thus allowing immediate adjustments in the strategy. And there we also realize that we can use it for other subject areas to prepare for other communication strategies. Data from formative research such as KAPs help deepen stakeholders' understanding of the socio-cultural and economic barriers to behavior change. And data generated from using E4E is helping redefine global guidance on avian flu communication and now pandemic preparedness. And finally, we have also seen from using E4E with communities that the simpler and more practical the tools, the easier for program officers to manage research considering that they have limited time, funding, and human resources. So if you would like to have a look at the E4E tool, you can log on to this website. And that ends my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tess. I'm going to introduce the last presenter, Dr. Everard Hossain, Communication Advisor for the World Health Organization and formerly Senior Counsel for Social Development at Burson Marsteller, the larger global public relations and communication consulting company. Dr. Hossain is an international communication specialist with 30 years of experience in strategic marketing communication, advocacy, and public relations, and information education and communication related to social development issues, particularly in public health, reproductive health, including maternal, child health, and family planning, and HIV/AIDS prevention, population and development, health promotion, nutrition, early childhood education, juvenile justice, children's welfare, girls' education, university education, and there are a number of other areas, so you got the picture. Dr. Hossain is also co-director, Global Health Communication Center at Indiana University, Indianapolis, as well as the coordinator of the New York University WHO Communication for Behavioral Impact Summer Institute. Dr. Hossain's global professional experience extends from Africa and Asia to the Caribbean, Latin America, Europe, and North America. He has been a consultant to several United Nations agencies, the World Bank, Inter-American Development Bank, Asia Development Bank, USA, the German government, national and international non-governmental organizations, and governments in developing countries. He holds a PhD in Communication and Business Administration from the University of Michigan and a bachelor's degree in Journalism and Psychology from the University of Kansas. Ever.
Thank you.